And then the scripture reading this morning is from John, the first chapter, verses 1 through 18. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with the Word in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testifies concerning him. He cries out, saying, "This was he of whom I said, he who comes after me has surpassed me, and because he was before me." From the fullness of his grace, we have all received one blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth come through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only, who is at Father's side, has made him known.
What would we know of God? What would we know about God and God's plans for us if he had not revealed them to us? Throughout the Bible, God has indeed revealed some things, at least, about himself and about his plans for us. As the Gospel of John opens, as Doug has just read to us, we're confronted with the nature of God's Son, Jesus the Christ. From the outset, Jesus' apostle John presents the Word, or Jesus, as supernatural. Supernatural in origin, supernatural in powers, supernatural in goal. The Word not only has sound and meaning, but it also has personality, because it's not just a black and white one-dimensional word. This is not something that God has simply whispered in the ears of those men who wrote down what they heard and what they saw and what they understood, and we've collected it in this volume that we call the Bible. But this Word, John says from the very beginning, is a personality, is a person. Beyond that, this Word has a creative power which is without limit. It's a power which is indescribably beyond human capability. It is unique. It falls into a category which is beyond category. John asserts that the Word is the source of everything that exists, everything visible and everything invisible. And that this Word, this creative Word which created all, is something, someone, that predates all of this material world, not just of this earth, but of everything within what we call the universe. As God's Word, Jesus has a universal significance, and that is that he's not just this God, this Son of God, this living Word, this creative power, just for a portion of humanity, just for a race or a nationality, just for an ethnic group. But this Son of God, this representative of Father God, has significance that is universal, that applies to every person, every place within God's world. He is the ultimate authority because of who he is. And he has a nature that is superior to humanity. So there has never been anything like him on the face of this earth or within human experience, and will not be. He occupies a singular status. In God's word, not only is there physical life, and that physical life is made possible, but more importantly, eternal spiritual life is made possible. Both of these kinds of life are embodied in him, the Word, the Son, the man Jesus. His life is the light to show humans God's purpose for them. And these two aspects of his being, of his nature, life and light, are his gifts to all humanity, to all, as John will say, who will receive him or who will acknowledge who he is and fall down at his feet in worship, in allegiance, in submission. In John's gospel, Jesus is connected to life 36 times. In John chapter 14 and verse 6, Jesus says of himself, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Not, "I am one way, I am one truth, I am one life," but, "I am the way, the truth, the life." He proceeds to say, "No one comes to the Father except through me." That is a broad statement that is all-encompassing, that leaves nothing out, and that is bold, because it says that there is nothing else available to all humanity that will connect us with Father God than Jesus Christ himself. That is not what we call PC or politically correct today. But Jesus spoke the truth. Remember, he says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Jesus came with truth. Truth from God the Father. Truth from the Creator and the Sustainer of all humanity and of all creation. His concern was not to be politically correct, not to avoid stepping on someone's toes, not to avoid trying to be in conflict with some kind of philosophy or ideas of human beings, but to state what would be universally true then, before then, and forever after then. Jesus connects life and light in John chapter 8 and verse 12 by saying, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." As his time on earth grew shorter, Jesus said of himself in John chapter 12 and verse 35, "You are going to have the light just a little while longer. Walk while you have the light before darkness overtakes you. The man who walks in the dark does not know where he is going. Put your trust in the light while you have it, so that you may become sons of light." Jesus spoke very clearly of himself, his role, and the possibilities that come through him, but only through him. As God's Word in human form, Jesus Christ is God's light of purity, of holiness, and of hope. There is nothing else on this earth that holds out all of those things to every person who will receive him and acknowledge him and give themselves to him than what Jesus offers. Our world is dark. Oh, it doesn't seem like it in so many ways, because we so easily and quickly adapt to the culture that we're in, whatever culture that is. And as culture changes, we adapt to that as well. Well, to a large extent anyway. We do have a tendency as human beings to resist change, don't we? And yet, culture has a way of seeping into us, whether we like it or not, whether we intend to accept it or adapt it and adopt it to ourselves or not. Certain things within culture just affect us that way. And so our world is dark because people rejected God and they chose sin. In 1 John chapter 1 and in verses 5 through 7, John, again, Jesus' apostle, writes this to Christians. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin. We read that and we think, okay, Lord, that's where I am. You can count me in. I'm one of yours. I walk with you in the light. But we do have to ask ourselves, don't we, in all fairness, how much of the darkness of this world has seeped into my life? How much of darkness is within me? How much of that darkness of sin? How much of that acceptance of the culture and of the life that is filled with sin of all different kinds has gotten into me, and that I don't even think about as sin? I don't see it as sin. I don't recognize it for what it really is. Am I walking truly in the light, or do I have a foot in the light and a foot in the darkness? Am I trying to kind of play both ends against the middle? Am I trying to kind of live out this world's life in darkness, in part, in order to kind of get along and be normal, as the world considers normal, and yet have another foot, hopefully, in heaven and be pleasing to God? The darkness of Satan will not overcome the light. It may overcome you and me, but it will not overcome the light, because the light has immeasurably greater power than darkness, because Christ is the true light from God. And one of the things that we know instinctively, it seems, or at least we know by experience, is that truth always overcomes. In any situation, eventually, truth always overcomes. The world of Jesus' time did not recognize Jesus as God's promised Savior King. They were focused on physical desires. Few understood God's spiritual desires for them. And as John speaks back here in the Gospel of John chapter 1 in these introductory remarks, he makes note of the fact that Jesus came to his own and his own did not recognize him. That says that the people who rejected Jesus, who overlooked Jesus, were people who were convinced that they were closely following God's will. And until we read the stories about Jesus and his adult life, and we come to understand that there was a different agenda on the part of God's people at that time, that they were blinded by their own desires, by their own agendas, from seeing, from recognizing who Jesus was. It's hard to understand, isn't it? Or is it? Our world has really not changed from where it was 2,000 years ago. We've become so caught up in our temporary physical world and life that we're distracted from our eternal spiritual world and life, aren't we? I mean, after all, we've got to live now. We've got to take care of business now. We've got to deal with the here and the now. And the then and beyond, that's a different world, a different time, a different reality. We can't really imagine it, even with what we read in Scripture about these descriptions that are given to us. They really fall beyond our understanding. We have now to live in. We do the best we can right now. At least we so tell ourselves. We consider ourselves to be godly people. And yet, we don't recognize God's plans for us, do we? Do we recognize who and what he sent to us? Is Jesus known or unknown to us as God? John says that some people did recognize Jesus. They recognized him for who he truly was. Those people, it says, believed in his name. John's primary message is belief in Jesus as God's Son. So he mentions it 98 times in his gospel. And in fact, in John chapter 20, in verses 30 through 31, John says, as he begins to close out his letter, Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are recorded so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. So this matter of believing, of recognizing, of acknowledging, of accepting Jesus for who he truly was and is key to us understanding everything about him and about God himself, the Father. To the people who did recognize Jesus and who did believe in his name or in his authority, he gave them the right, or he enabled them to become God's children by God's power. This is a change of heart. A change from a human nature to a spiritual nature. It's a change of direction in life. A change from pursuing our own will to pursuing God's will for us and God's will for us in the lives of the people of this world. The climax of what John has said thus far is found in John chapter 1 and verse 14. There John says, "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." These are incomprehensible statements when you stop and think about them. Incomprehensible. The Son of God, the co-creator of everything that exists, visible and invisible, on this earth and beyond this earth, released himself from his high position to become human. With all the limitations that humans have, and all the lack of limitations that he had before becoming a human. That is simply incomprehensible. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 16 says, "God dwells in unapproachable light." And yet, God the Father sent his Son to earth to be completely approachable so that we could know something more about God. It's incomprehensible, the idea of God dwelling or living with us in the form of Jesus of Nazareth. The relationship which the Father and the Son eternally bear to each other is declared by John to be a mutual indwelling of love. And the purpose of Jesus coming to reveal the Father is that men and women may, through faith in him, have eternal life. That is, that they may be drawn to this divine fellowship of love, dwelling in God as God dwells in them, as God dwells in us. That is incomprehensible. It's incomprehensible that the Son of God came to the world to be born in a stable and not in a palace. That he was the son of a carpenter and not of a prince. That he came into our raw world to meet real people living real lives. Even through his betrayal, his trial, and his crucifixion, Jesus did not for a moment insulate himself from real life of real people. It says, as we look at his life, that he chose by God's plan to be with us every step, to understand us, to identify with us, to empathize as well as sympathize with us in human form. One renowned biblical scholar remarks that Christ's incarnation was the full manifestation of grace and truth because it was the greatest possible expression of God's compassion for people and the most perfect way of conveying the truth to their understanding. Christ's incarnation is an essential message of God's good news. And Jesus being here from spirit into physical life, experiencing and even enduring everything that he did as human beings experience and endure, living a life as human beings live a life with all of its challenges, all of that, and then the offer of life eternal with the Father. All of that goes to make up that term we call good news. And indeed, it's the best news there could be, isn't it? His eternal word was made into the life of a human. His revelation of the Father took place in real historical events. His words are as truly revelations of the Father as his actions are. And so John writes in 1 John chapter 4, in verses 1 through 3, "Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. This is how you may recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming and even now is already in the world." As God's Son, Jesus Christ has no equal. That is a message that John wants to get across in these early verses of his gospel. Jesus Christ, as God's Son, as God's spokesperson, the Word, has no equal. Not among men, not among spirits, not anywhere, not in any realm. He is fully able to reveal God the Father. God's personal revelation of himself in Christ has no parallels. That's why Jesus could say, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." So John identifies Jesus as the Word of God, as Creator, as life, as light, and as God's only Son. He reveals that Jesus brought life and light and grace and truth and the ability to become God's child. And he confirms that Jesus' purpose was to bring humans to eternal life with God the Father. Who a person is, or who we believe them to be in relation to us, determines how we relate to them, doesn't it? We relate to our parents, to our siblings, to our children, to other family members in certain ways because of the relationship we have with them. And we relate to our teachers and our employers and our friends and other people we encounter in life in different ways, each one in different ways because of our relationship to them. John says that people who recognize and receive Jesus as God's Son were enabled to become his children. It raises some questions that each of us has to wrestle with to the very depths of our souls. Do we think of Jesus as simply someone we read about in the Bible and we question whether or not it's a fairy tale, a great myth. We question whether or not he was a prophet, a teacher, or truly God's son. Do we recognize him for who John says, and many others say, he was? God's Word, God's Son, our Savior. In your life, is Jesus known or unknown for who he was and is? How do you relate to Jesus of Nazareth, the Word, the Son of God, the Savior? If we can help you in any part of that, we urge you to come forward right now as we stand and sing this song. Mm-hmm.